Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, guys.
Hey, yeah.
What type of markets do dogs avoid?
Oh, I don't know. What?
Flea markets. Bork, bork, hello.
Bork, bork, hello.
Welcome back to the Flea from Papa podcast.
Thank you for tuning in. I'm Melanie.
Yes, you are.
That over there is Taylor.
I'm Taylor. Hello.
And today we have with us a very special guest. We have Justin Palazzo.
Hi. It's nice to be here.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
This is so cool.
Justin, would you like to very quickly introduce who you are?
Sure. My name is Justin Palazzo. I go by Pet Coach. And I've been working in the animal behavior and training industry for 11 years
wow.
now.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
So I started working at RSPCA Queensland and then moved into doing my own business. And then I've moved into working for an organization called Happy Paws, Happy Hearts.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
How cool.
So lovely.
That is awesome. So we're going to start off today like we normally do with a story. I think you have the story today.
I do have a story. Would you believe? I have 22 stories.
Well, so, would you believe? I 100% believe you, but I don't know that we have time for 22 stories.
Well, no. I have, you know, just the peak of social media, a BuzzFeed article.
Oh, love excellent. A bit of BuzzFeed. What have you got?
So BuzzFeed asked some members of the BuzzFeed community, it's quite elite, to tell us the worst thing their dog has done. And by worst thing, we mean hilarious things.
Oh, so good.
And here are the unintentionally hilarious results.
Yes.
One morning, my crazy basset hound got out of the house, ran across the street, and peed on a little girl's backpack while she was waiting for the bus. Sorry, little girl.
That's such a terrible way to start your day, though.
Happy first day of school. Have this peed on backpack.
I'm just imagining like I'm 7. I have a cool backpack and I'm like, woohoo, I'm finally going to school all by myself. Go get on the bus. And that's what happens.
And that's it.
That's the whole story.
That's the first.
Yay.
Oh, this is bizarre. Okay. My dog ate some wild turkey poop, then jumped in my lap and licked my face.
Ew.
As I was telling him to get down, it gets worse. He stuck his tongue in my mouth.
Oh,
my other dog carried a turd in through the dog door.
Yuck.
It's just a poopy day for those dogs.
Oh, my God. Please tell me these are not all waste related.
I did start with pee, didn't I? I'm going to try and find one that is unrelated to excrement.
That'd be great. Ooh, maybe we have a special fourth guest today.
We do have some little secret guests with us today. Justin has brought his very adorable tiny humans. Here's one submitted by someone called Amelia Ridley, which is just a great name.
I thought
I would mention it. I didn't mention anyone else's names, but this one is, I let my Labrador come outside with me when I was taking the bins out one morning. I let him go for a wander, thinking he was just going to pee on the telegraph pole at the end of our driveway. Telegraph pole. I've never heard anyone say telegraph pole in our generation.
What?
But anyway, like he always does. Instead, he saw his opportunity and seized it. He kept walking past the telegraph pole, past the border of our property, up the neighbor's driveway.
Oh, no.
Through the dog flap in the side door.
No!
Right up to the table where my neighbor was eating his breakfast. And we were talking about bacon last episode. He ate the bacon off his plate.
Oh, no.
This dog just walked into someone else's house and was like, I'm here. I see you're eating bacon. You know what? I'm eating bacon now.
Did I tell you Zola? I did that once.
Zola ate your bacon?
She got... So from our house, there's a house across the street and they had their garage door up because they were doing renovations.
Yeah.
So Zola came out our door, went across the street, went in through the garage door, in the door. She was there for like a good 20 minutes. Like I couldn't find her anywhere. She was there for like a good 20 minutes. And when I finally went over and I was like, I'm so sorry, is my dog here? The owners were like, oh, yeah, we thought he was the builder's. And the builder was like, it's not my dog. I thought it was your dog. And they were like, no. And I was like, nope, that's mine. I'm just gonna take, thank you, sorry. And they were like, oh, we thought the builder just like brought his dog with him today. And we were like, I was like, oh no, that's mine. I'm sorry. So naughty. Zola. Oh my goodness.
I'm going to look for one more, but I can't. I'm genuinely trying to find one that has no relation to poop and or pee.
I appreciate that.
This one's really sweet, and I don't know if I've mentioned this story before, but let's see how we go.
Do it anyway.
My black lab used to get into all sorts of trouble. She unwrapped all of the Christmas presents on Christmas Eve, even though there was no food under the tree. We woke up to find soggy bits of wrapping paper all over the house.
Oh no!
They were like, yay, Christmas presents! And just assumed it was on the 24th.
We used to have to do that because if we ever, like, we used to buy my dad like fudge for Christmas.
Oh.
And we found out after a couple of years that we couldn't put it under the tree anymore. We had to save it and then bring it out Christmas morning.
Because the dogs would get to it.
Because the dogs would be like, oh, what's this?
Unless you used like a pen around the tree. A Christmas pen, if you will.
No, but then it looks funny, doesn't it? It looks a bit weird.
Unless you paint it, that would be nice. Unless you wrap it yourself.
You wrap a Christmas fence?
Sure. To make it Christmassy? That's
so doesn't much everyone? Effort.
Yeah.
Everyone right? Wrap their Christmas fence?
Taylor, what do you do with your Christmas fence?
I don't have a Christmas fence.
Oh, no. We need to get you on that. This. My old dog, Lucky, he was a Dachshund mix, like this stocky little dude who was also deaf. But like such a character. He interrupted one of our Easter egg hunts when my brother and I were a lot younger by unwrapping all the Easter eggs and trying to snuffle them all down.
Oh.
But I'm just so impressed because he was such a dork, not the brightest pup in the litter, and just unwrapped every egg. We took him to the vet and he was fine, just for the record.
Yeah.
But I'm just so impressed that he could unwrap every egg.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it. I'm just impressed. The end.
I'm just impressed. The end. Oh my goodness.
Yep. That's me. Do you have any more great dog breeds for us, Taylor?
I do.
Please tell us.
I actually Googled obscure dog breeds because
love it.
We've been doing some well-known ones, which is good, but also I wanted to do something a bit random. So I found the Bergamasco sheepdog.
Sorry, one more time.
Zero response. Bergamasco sheepdog.
Bergamasco.
I probably am butchering that name.
Bergamasco.
Bergamasco. You're 100% right because I believe it is Italian.
Bergamasco.
Ah, Bergamasco.
You got it.
Yeah. Independent, sociable, and intelligent.
Adorable.
What do you think of this dog? Is it cute? Oh, no.
Small human says no.
Sebastian, you're 100% right, though, because they rank 187 out of 193 in the AKC breed popularity.
Oh, rude.
So they're not very popular.
I've never met one, but I think they're great.
Those dreads are really hard to deal with.
They are really hard. They do have kind of, not all of them, but quite a few of them have like quite a dreadlocky coat. So we've talked about pulleys before.
Yeah, yes. Pulleys.
Similar to kind of a pulley, but kind of a lot like flatter. They're not quite as curly. Yeah. They're much like straighter with their dreadlocks. So they get to be pretty big. You think he's yuck? Oh. He looks like a yak.
Yak-like. Oh. You might know this breed as being yak-like.
Yak-like. That's a good point. Good observation.
Tell us about him.
They're part of the herding group.
Mm-hmm.
And their life expectancy is about 13 to 15 years.
Are they a big dog?
Yeah.
That's a lot for a big dog.
Yeah. Pretty big. I mean, this is in American, so I'm having trouble converting. But they get to 70 to 84 pounds as a male, 57 to 71 as a female. So
sure,
like,
I'll
what's
take it.
70 pounds in kilograms. I should have prepared this earlier, but I didn't. It's about 31 kilos.
Right.
So it's by no means a small dog.
No.
Pretty big. Beneath the coat is a large, muscular shepherd dog of ancient pedigree. But the coat is really the breed's hallmark, so that's how people recognize them.
Yeah.
It has a hair of three different textures that form naturally occurring loose mats or flocks. Casually refer to as a dreadlock.
Yep.
Covering the body and legs, the flocks provide protection from the fierce cold and wild predators of the Italian Alps, which is where they're originally from.
Cool.
So where was I reading it? The plural of Bergamasco was like Bergamaschi or something.
What do you reckon, Justin?
I think if it It's Italian and it ends with an O, plural, probably ends in an I.
I, there you go.
Like
probably.
I did read it somewhere, but now I can't remember where it is. They're bright, loyal, loving, and trainable with a dash of mountain dog independence.
Oh, it's just a dash.
Just a dash.
You don't want too much mountain dog independence. You don't want too much.
Exactly. Otherwise, off they go. They take to watching over loved ones with a serene vigilance.
Love it.
Wary of strangers until properly introduced, they are aggressive only as a last resort.
Fair.
Which is kind of nice. They're not like snappy dogs. So they do grooming is, they say that the coat of an adult Bergamasco is basically maintenance free.
Wow.
Which is not what you'd expect. But it's, so the three types of hair that I mentioned before are called dog, goat, and wool. The goat and wool hairs don't start to appear until the dog is 1 year old. And when they do, the coat must be ripped into mats, a process that can take a few hours or a few evenings. But once it's done, it's done.
Right.
Then the felt-like mats grow over the course of a dog's life, reaching the ground at approximately 6 years of age.
Right. Do you reckon they're also hypoallergenic? The dreads?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. You could do a quick Google.
I'm
going to
do a quick Google.
They are the herding group, like I said before. Bergamascos have extremely long upper eyelashes to keep the curtain of hair that falls from their forehead out of their eyes.
Aww.
So the curtain of hair is to protect the Bergamasco's eyes from snow blindness.
Ah.
Because they're up in the Italian Alps. Isn't that cute?
Real pretty.
They are really pretty. They're very sociable, developing independent relationships with each person in the household and relates to them in an individualized way. So you know how you get some dogs and no matter who walks through the door, they're like, oh my God, hi, I'm really happy to see you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Bergamasco will form an individual relationship with each person and they'll have a unique way of interacting with that person, which is pretty sweet.
Clever boys.
They're really cute. They come in black and gray and they can have sort of black patches as well, but they don't really color much more than that.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Sure.
Oh, I just clicked the puppy tab. They're so cute. So when they're puppies, that like mat-like tail hasn't quite formed yet. So they're just real fluffy and they're just kind of like poof.
They look like a Maltese or like
They do. Or they look like they've been attacked by like a hairdryer. They're like, whew. But they've still got that kind of like the little fringe over their eyes. So they're just kind of like, hello.
They look like they have really thick eyebrows.
They're so cute.
They kind of look like puppies. A schnoodle.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, a little schnoodle.
Yeah, totally.
They're so cute.
They are.
Not that schnoodles
so
are an official
cute.
Breed.
Are they not?
Are they not?
I don't believe so.
AKC, hit us up.
There you go. AKC, please.
So that's a schnauzer poodle cross.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And people will usually get, oh, it's a schnoodle. It's not a real breed and blah, 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 blah.
Oh, but, you know. Ow, I'm offended for the schnoodles.
All the oodles.
Poor schnoodles.
All the oodles.
All the oodles. So they get a bad oodles. Rap, all the oodles.
Had it.
Yeah, so that's your Bergamasco.
I love it.
They're pretty cool. I think they're pretty agreeable in general, just so long as you're willing to do all of the regular dog care things, take care of
like
them,
with all
groom
of
them,
enrich
pretty much
them.
Everything. They're not going to need anything super special, but they're not just like, you can't just leave them in a corner either, but that's every dog.
Yes. I mean, you're not wrong.
But they're really cute. I don't know that I've seen one in Australia.
I don't think I've ever seen one. I wonder if we
have. You ever run into one?
I have at a distance.
No way.
Yeah, dog
here
shows
in Australia?
And stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not many of them.
Yeah, I can't imagine they're super popular.
Same with poolies. Breed. You don't see a lot of poolies.
No, you
around.
Don't.
No, not at all.
But also I imagine that coat is probably a bit heavy for our climate in Queensland.
Yeah.
It's probably a bit hot for us. We are
the
not
heavy coat.
We are not Alps by any
stretch
of the imagination.
Italian mountains.
So there you go. I had never heard of that breed until just recently.
No,
so
thank you for that.
Bergamasco sheepdog.
Hit us up on our socials if you
own
one.
Have a Bergamasco.
Send us pictures.
So cool.
We need dog pictures.
We need pictures.
Dear every listener, please send us all of your dog pictures.
The end.
With love, Floof and Papa Podcast.
Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
But no, wait, we're still here. Don't go. Don't turn us off. We're actually going to ask Justin a few questions.
Awesome.
And we're starting with a question from our very own Miranda.
Hi.
Hi, Miranda.
My name's Miranda.
It feels weird that we didn't say hi to you before.
Yeah.
Like, why you've just suddenly like popped up from the audience?
I am in the studio audience today.
Studio audience,
yes. Love it.
Correct. So I have a question for the training expert on the panel. So which one of them?
That would be Justin.
Oh, that's me.
Oh, hi, Justin. Hi, Miranda.
How can I help?
So as our listeners might already be aware, I have a rescue dog, which is my dog. Mm-hmm. And more recently, my mother and I have got another rescue dog. She came to us as a 7-year-old who had been breeding stock on a puppy farm. Uh-huh. So she has been like just no socialization.
Yeah.
Loves other dogs, not too keen on humans.
Okay.
She's a Chinese crested,
which we have talked about.
We have talked about.
Lovely.
And one of the things about the Chinese crested that we talked about was they're the type of dog breed who tends to bond very strongly with one person to the exclusion of all others. Mm-hmm. So in this case, the one person is my mother and I am the exclusion of all others.
Uh-oh.
So she's been with us almost a year now.
Okay.
But I still have not been able to.
Oh, wow, that one clicked, didn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I've not been able to bond with her at all. She still barks at me a lot. Oh. She won't let me touch her or pick her up.
Mm.
So my first question is, how is she fed?
Ooh.
What is the method of getting nutrients into her body?
Through the mouth.
Hopefully, to start with.
The one thing that she will take from me is food. She's very food driven.
Excellent.
But we do free feed our dog.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bowl of biscuits.
Just before we go any further, I don't know if you can see it hovering over my head. And it's a bit hard on a podcast to see the sign that's hovering over my head, but it says judgment doesn't live here.
Okay.
So I'm not going to judge you on anything that you're doing so far.
I have been previously judged on free feeding.
Free feeding being...
just having food available
all day, anytime.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. The other method is to essentially make dogs work for it.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they never have it available without effort.
Yeah.
So So we have biscuits out all through the day. We feed both our dogs at night separately because otherwise Zambi just eats all of Tui's food. Very food driven.
So. I'm not going to judge about how she's being fed. However, I do recommend using that valuable resource to your advantage. Like with any new relationship, it's the dating process is really important. So we need to be wining and dining. So ways that you can be doing that is get her day's worth of food, put it in a jar, and that's her food for the day. And then you and her can just chill out and have breakfast together. And if she's
sexy.
In an unsexy kind of way. Don't have sexy breakfast with your dog. It's not okay.
You can love your dogs, but don't,
don't love your dogs.
And there's the title of our episode.
So now when she does take food from you usually, does she kind of snatch it and then run away? Or does
correct.
She, yeah, okay. So again, the analogy that I tend to use in these sorts of situations is, for example, with a human, if I was to hold a $2 coin in one hand and a knife in the other hand, you might think, I want that $2, but the knife's kind of scary. So you might just snatch that $2 and run away to stay away from the scary knife. Mm. So if she perceives you as a potential scary thing,
I am a giant knife.
You're a giant knife. Then what we want to do is, again, that going back to dating thing, you don't want to be too desperate. You want to play a little bit hard to get.
Too real.
And you want to just be there and just toss a little piece of food away from you. So what people tend to do, I think, that make a big mistake that a lot of people make when they're trying to get dogs to love them is they're like,
draw them in.
Eat out of my hands, eat out of my hands. And then you turn into like some kind of...
controlling.
Well, you turn into like a scary serial killer type.
Yeah.
You're like...
immediately intimate, which is scary.
Yeah. You like, come to me, I have treats. And you're like, it's a bit Hansel and Gretel and a little bit scary.
I know you can't see it, but there's a lot of wiggly...
there's like, a lot of wiggly hands.
Accompanied with that sound.
Seeing myself in a whole new light.
So... My general rule with any behavior or any desensitization program is I work on a process of easy, challenging, easy. Mm-hmm. So just like dating, easy, challenging, easy. So
I'm learning so much here today.
So what we're going to do is first time you toss the treat, you might toss it, say, 3 meters away from you. Like, you've got to work out what her safe zone is. So if her safe zone is she's like completely relaxed and comfortable at 3 meters away, then the first one will come 3 meters away. And she'll be like, yeah, I got this. It's easy. And then the next one you'll try and aim for about 2.5 meters away. She's like, oh, this is a bit more challenging, but I got it. And then the next one again from 3 meters away. So she's back in her chill zone.
Right. I think the chill zone, the third step, is the step that I've been missing.
Yes. Mm. And I think everyone does. And most trainers will encourage people to go step up, step up, step up, step up, and make it harder and harder and harder.
Yeah. But you go two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah.
Two steps forward,
yeah,
one step
absolutely.
Back.
You've got to have that release of the pressure.
That's still a step forward.
Mm-hmm. You still, yeah. So overall, you end up moving forward, but you need to have that release of pressure. Yeah. And I actually worked out this process by watching my son, who you may be hearing in the background.
Very well trained.
When he first went to go into a swimming lagoon and he was scared of the water, I watched what he did as a young learning individual. Mm. And so what he did is he took a couple of steps in the water, then he came right out of the water. And then next time he went in a little bit deeper and then he came all the way
out.
Out
of the water.
So it allows the brain time to process all that stress chemistry that fires off in that scary time. It allows that stress chemistry to go, oh, that was intense, but I got this. I can do this.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, let's try that again. And then you can go again. That's and then cool. They have that little release. Like, okay, so that was a little bit more intense, but I got it. And maybe I can go a little bit harder. But you don't let them go to that harder level. You make them go back to an easier level.
Yeah.
So then their brain goes, this is really easy. So the analogy that I often use in this is like if you go to a PT, a personal trainer, and they get you to do 5 push-ups, then 10 push-ups, then 15 – your brain's already thinking, man, I know what's coming next. Mm. Whereas if they say do 2, do 5, do 2.
Like, hell yeah, back to 2.
Two. I could do 2.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
I could do 5 again.
Yeah, I could probably do 5 again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you gradually work at her level, always working at her level. Don't. You need to be able to observe body language, and I can help out with that as well. But observe her body language to be chilled and relaxed as much as a Chinese crested can be chilled and relaxed. And this is where it's difficult with different fur types and coat covers. So be observant of her body language and always want to aim for getting her to the chilled, relaxed version of herself. Mm. But then learning needs to work on just the edge of that. You know, if you're always doing level one maths, you know, primary school, grade one maths, and you're like 20, you're probably going to get bored with that.
Yes.
Yeah? So you need to get challenged, but if the challenge is too high, then the learner will stress. Give up or stress or have a negative association with that situation. But if the challenge is not hard enough, then they get bored, destructive. Yeah.
They so start eating your shoes.
Start eating your shoes.
They start eating your shoes.
Yeah.
I hate when I'm doing math and then I just start eating shoes.
That's called a displacement behavior.
Yeah. Good to know.
Well, thank you, Dr. Justin.
You're welcome. I'm not a doctor.
Disclaimer. That was so cool.
That was very
it's
cool.
Really nice to have an actual expert on the show.
Yeah, we do a lot of like reading ladies. And speculating and trying to like incorporate that into what we already know, but it's very nice to have someone with a definitive like I have done this and it works.
That is cool. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So good. Oh, I'm so chuffed.
Yes.
Plug.
Oh, this is a really.
We're plugging Justin.
Yes.
Welcome back to the Floof and Popper podcast, play charades, which is the worst if you're on a podcast.
Very visual.
I'm not sure what that hand gesture was meant to mean. But
it's a plug. Justin, would you like to plug yourself?
Sure. So you can find me. You can find me on Facebook.
Great.
At JPO Pet Coach.
JPO Pet Coach.
Justin Palazzo-Wall.
And we'll link all this in the show notes as well for you guys.
So that's the best place to find me. And also, if you want to support the awesome work of Happy Paws, Happy Hearts, you can head to HPHH Foundation.
Cool.
Or Happy Paws, Happy Hearts. On your search engine and find them there. So they're doing amazing stuff with people with intellectual and physical disabilities.
You're doing
and
amazing stuff.
Service people.
Yeah.
Thank
How
you.
How cool.
It's so very rad. Cool.
Ah, yay! Can you feel us celebrating, you guys? This is We're such a milestone so for us. We're legit at episode 50 or 40.
I think this might actually be episode 50. I don't know. I can't.
Are you guys keeping count? Well,
I think it's episode 50. So how appropriate.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We know what we're doing.
At episode 50, we were like, we should probably get someone really to just confirm everything.
Oh, thanks for listening, you guys.
Yes, thank you for listening. You can also find us on our socials at Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. After, of course, you've gone and liked JPO Pet Coach. Mm-hmm. We are Floof and Papa Podcast. And if you search us, we should pop up. We're also on thatsnotcanon.com.
Thank you, That's Not Canon, for having us.
Thank you.
Also, yeah, come and be active on our socials, fam. I'm up there. I'm doing things. I'm posting dogs.
I'm not doing it. Please. Mel's doing it.
Please post your dogs. Please send us dog photos, as I requested earlier in that very formal letter. Yeah, that's it. That's it, you guys. Bork. Goodbye.
Oh my God, I was like, don't tell me.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.